Welcome to today's Let's Talk Guthrie County program. I'm Dallas County News Director Joe Sierwinski. On today's program, I'm joined by State Senator for District 10, Jake Chapman. First of all, Jake, thank you so much for joining me this week.
It's always a pleasure, Joe. Thanks for having me.
So the big topic I want to start off with today is the education funding. This was passed by both chambers now and is headed to the governor's desk. So tell me what you know about where this ended up.
Yeah, no, thank you for bringing that up. I'm really glad we were able to get this done and give some certainty to our school systems out there on what their funding is going to look like. And where we ended up is we will appropriate an extra $99 million for K through 12 education systems in the state of Iowa. So a million short of $100 million. But within that, we dedicated money for transportation costs, trying to provide some equity out there, particularly for our rural communities that struggle with exorbitant amount of money they're spending on transportation as opposed to those in urban areas. And so we have been focused for the last few years on providing additional relief for those communities. And I was very happy we were able to get some money into the schools for that purpose as well. Over the last 4 years, we have, under Republican control, have put in an additional over $300 million into our K-12 system. And what I'm really proud about is when we have said we're going to give that money, we have followed through every single year. So what we had seen in past years was that oftentimes there would be an agreement that they would give, for example, $140 million to education, but then would only come in and only fund $60 million of it. And that gets put on the backs of property taxpayers, and that's something that we don't think is responsible. So every time we have come up with a number for what we would put in education, we have funded that, and we will fund it again this year as well. And so this gives some certainty for our education system, and very happy to have that done. And it's a good sign that we were able to get that done as we progress through the legislative session.
For sure. Now, this number is above what the Senate had initially proposed, but below what the House was proposed. So do you feel like you worked out a good compromise between the two chambers?
Yeah, obviously you have to compromise, and that's the way negotiations go. You know, it was a little bit more than what we wanted to spend in the Senate. But ultimately, I think it was a good number. Both chambers compromised on this. And I think it still gives us some money to work with to address other priorities such as healthcare, our court systems, those type of things that are other parts of state expenditures. So that will come later in the budgeting process, but we should have enough money to fund all of our priorities.
All right. Now, a couple of individual bills that you've been working on a lot this session, starting with a couple of constitutional amendments that we've discussed here before, I wanted to start by asking you the latest on the felon voting bill and where that's at.
Yeah, so last year, the House passed a constitutional amendment that would give universal restoration to felons who had served their time. Now, the question becomes is, what does it mean to serve your time, or the terminology we use is discharge your sentence? And so in the Senate, we passed a bill that will go over to the House that addresses that specific language. So we're trying to identify what it really means to discharge your sentence. And so in the Iowa Senate, we propose language that if you have been convicted of a felony, if you have paid your restitution to victims, not necessarily to the court system, but to the victim, and so long as you weren't convicted of murder or sexual assault, then you would have automatic restoration of your voting rights. In the case of murder or sexual assault, you would still need to apply to the governor, and the governor could still discharge that sentence and allow that individual to have voter registration. But we believe it's important that we recognize that there are some crimes so heinous that there needs to be an individual case, that you look at that on an individual basis and make the determination whether or not that individual should have their voting rights restored. There's still a long ways to go on the felon voting constitutional amendment. The Senate has not taken that piece up yet. We felt it was important to first identify and address this discharge of sentence and get that into code before we proceed any further with the constitutional amendment.
All right. Now, the other amendment that you are heavily involved with, I'm sure people who are familiar with our conversations is well aware, that is the abortion amendment. So talk about the latest with this, because last time we talked about it, you said it was the furthest along of all the amendments.
Right. And so the pro-life constitutional amendment that has gone through the Senate went over to the House. The House has a companion bill, which basically means it's very similar language. They have run that through the subcommittee and committee process. In the House, they have a special rule that allows legislators to petition to hold a second public hearing, and usually it's a bigger public hearing. They have done that. That was held a couple of weeks ago, so there was public input on that. It is now ready for full consideration in the Iowa House. And this is one that I know a number of my colleagues on the other side of the chamber over in the House have been working on, trying to secure the votes to get this passed. Now, what it means is if it passes the House, we will go through an election this fall, and then we will come back next year, and we will have to pass the exact same language again. If the language changes at all, we have to start the process over. But if it is voted on by the Senate and House again with the exact same language in 2021, it will then be eligible to go to the people and allow the people to vote on this issue. So still a long ways to go, but as far as the constitutional amendments that are progressing, it's certainly the furthest along.
All right. We'll continue to monitor the progress of that bill as it passes through. Now, another bill that you've been working on a lot has to do with welfare reform. So talk about where this bill currently sits.
Yeah, so we have two components really to the welfare reform that has been passed through the Iowa Senate. Last year, when it comes to our SNAP program, our food assistance program, the United States government fined the state of Iowa nearly $2 million because we were out of compliance. We were actually overpaying on these food stamp programs. And so, one, we have passed a bill that allows a third-party private company to come in and help get that in line with where it should be, that we're not making these overpayments. The second thing to what we have done is the federal government has work requirements for food stamps. We are applying those same work requirements when it comes to Medicaid. And so an individual who is an able-bodied adult who does not have young children would be required to either be in school doing some sort of training or volunteering at least 20 hours per week. This gives an opportunity for those individuals to find meaningful employment. We have one of the lowest unemployment rates in the entire United States. And just the other day, we saw that Iowa ranks number one for the most per capita of individuals who are in that working age from age 16 and above who are employed. And so we have a lot of jobs out here in Iowa that need to be filled. And this is a great opportunity to help get these individuals into either training or getting involved with some volunteering or work to help fill the need here in the state of Iowa.
Okay. Now, a couple more topics that I want to discuss with you today aren't directly related to the current happenings at the legislature. First, you mentioned the election that's coming up this year, and your seat is one of those that is up for election this year, and you have already submitted your nomination papers. So talk a little bit about your reelection here in the early stages.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate the people of the 10th District for allowing me to represent them down at the Iowa Capitol, and they'll have an opportunity this fall to send a signal whether they're happy or not happy with what we've been able to accomplish over the last few years. And we have, I think, put Iowa on a tremendous path of economic prosperity. You know, over the last 3-4 years, we have gone from budget deficits to filling our entire economic reserve funds. We have a surplus of money. We did the largest income tax cut in Iowa's history, and yet our revenues continue to grow. And so I do think there's more work to be done. And that's why I've decided that I would like to continue to serve the people of the 10th District, and hopefully they'll choose to allow me to continue to represent them. But, you know, we're off to a fast start here and growing our grassroots campaign of folks who are volunteering for the campaign and, of course, folks can always reach me, and whether they're supportive or not supportive, we have legislative forums. We have my website. You can go to my website, votejakechapman.com. My email's on there. My phone number is on there. People can reach out to me, ask me any questions they have, whether it's about the campaign or whether it's about policy that we're addressing at the Iowa Capitol. I encourage folks to reach out to me and let me have the opportunity to talk to them.
All right, for sure. Well, State Senator Jake Chapman, anything else that you'd like to mention to our listeners today?
No, I sure appreciate it, Joe. I always look forward to having these conversations, so thank you.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining me, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
That's been today's Let's Talk Guthrie County program with State Senator Jake Chapman. I'm Dallas County News Director Joe Sierwinski with Raccoon Valley Radio News.